I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing. All things
are working for my good.
'Cause she's intentional.
She's intentional.
Hey, and it's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
Intentional.
It's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working.
Hey,
that all things are working for my good. Yes, they are. Yeah. All things are working for my good.
All things are working for my good.
All things are working for my good.
Here's why.
Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of encouragement, enlightenment, and empowerment, and I do greet you today in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us. For our new listeners especially, I'm so glad that you've tuned in. Our old listeners can tell you that you should definitely be able to get something out of the show. Amen. Today, we're going to be talking about going from victim to victor. Very often, we play the victim and we rehearse all these negative things that have happened to us. And we've all gone through things and had all kinds of adversity. But there comes a time in life to just kind of stop rehearsing the negative and repeating what they did to you, whoever they may be in your life. And then talking about what you don't have and recognize what you do have. So we're going to be coming from Genesis chapter 37. Again, that's Genesis chapter 37. If you want to call in today and then share your experience on the topic, you may do so. That number is 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. As you are turning to the scripture or grabbing your devices, we're going to go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for just watching over us and keeping us, God. We pray now, God, that you just move by your spirit on today, Lord. Touch everyone who is connected to this ministry, oh God. Give them what they need, oh Lord. And let your word come forth with clarity and understanding, whereby we may be able to grow even the more in you. God, we thank you in advance, and we count these blessings done by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we're in Genesis chapter 37, and our topic is from victim to victor. So if you have your Bibles, I am going to be reading from the NIV version of the Bible today, and we're only going to read four verses because this story is kind of lengthy, and I'm just going to kind of go through it paraphrasing for you, but we will read specifically verses 1 through 4. And the Bible reads, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his most holy word. Amen. Now, as with Joseph, when you have people who are supposed to love you and they hate you, it does cause you to be in a bad place emotionally. Now, when we're in bad situations and we have negative people around us, especially if you have a dream and a hope and a plan for your life, we know that your emotions will rise up and your dreams haven't manifested either. I mean, you know, it makes you feel a certain way. And for many of us, we can fall into depression or feelings of hopelessness and helplessness or even feeling powerless. But before long, that turns into blame and complaining about everything. After that, it turns into bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, and you end up making all kind of excuses. Again, we all deal with all types of frustration and stress and feeling sometimes that things may be out of our control. But how we deal with those things come from an internal place. And that place is programmed by several things. It can be programmed by your level of spirituality. That's how much words you have in you. It could be programmed by your level of maturity, not your age, but your level of wisdom, because sometimes age and wisdom just don't match up. I'm sorry to say. It can also be programmed by your environment. If everybody that you hang out with acts the same way and does the same types of things, then you very likely are most like your five closest friends or the five people that you spend the most time with. It can be affected by your upbringing or those messages that you got from your parents or that teacher that told you when you were in the 10th grade, you weren't anything, you couldn't learn, you're never going to be anything. Those kinds of messages stick with us. But it can also be programmed by your perspective. Where you are at this phase in your life. Where I was 10 years ago is not the same place where I am now. I see things differently now, so therefore I act differently, and I am affected because of those things. However, my perspective now may have changed, whether it's good or bad. So Joseph is the father's favorite son. And as you know, when you're the favorite in the first place, people automatically hate you. So whether you're the favorite on the job or, you know, you're the favorite in your community, especially if you're the favorite in the house, it's going to cause some jealousy. Now, in being a good parent, the key, of course, is to make sure that each child feels like they're your favorite. So now my kids know my secret. They're all my favorites. So when Joseph received this coat from his father, his brothers were jealous. Here it is that he's received a gift that the other kids haven't been given. Now think about that. As with many of us, we have some gifts that our friends or some other family members have not been given. Our brothers and sisters, so to speak, have not been given the same gifts. And quite frankly, it causes jealousy. And when people are jealous of you, it treats you different. And when you recognize that they're jealous of you, it causes you to act differently. On top of that, Joseph has a dream and he wants to share his dream with these brothers. So now you've been blessed by your father with this gift that other people don't have. You have a dream and you're going to tell these people who aren't with you anyway about your dream and your plan. Now, y'all know you can't share your dreams with everybody. Your dream is there to keep you motivated, but you have to discern who it is that you can talk to about your future plans and about things that God has shown you, especially if they're not in that same space. Your dream is there to keep you motivated. But when folks are already jealous, it becomes more of a reason for them to hate you. And here it is that his own brothers, brothers by blood, were hating on Joseph. You're excited and they're not. And I know many of us have been in this place as well. So now his dream was that their sheaves would be bowing down to his sheaf. And for those of you who may not know about country life, a sheaf is a bundle of stalks or grain that are cut down or similar plants. And then they're normally bound together with straws or with twine. So just to, so that you can get a mental picture of exactly what it is, Joseph got this vision from God. He had this dream that his brothers were going to be bowing down to him. So now they're saying, oh, so we're going to be bowing down to you, Joseph. Don't you know that even your enemies know when God is getting ready to bless you? Don't you know that even your enemies can recognize when there is something different about you? Don't you know that they can see it too? So that's why sometimes it's just not time to share with everybody where it is that God has taken you. So if that's not bad enough, they're jealous. You have a dream. You got a gift. And then he has a second dream. And what does he do? He tells them again. Sometimes, people of God, we have to learn to just be quiet. We have to learn to not share with everybody everything that God is showing us. So by now, his brothers are really fuming. Here he is. He's the second to the youngest brother. And he's getting too much attention. We have to utilize discretion when we know that the people around us may or may not be on our team. And we have to ask God to show us when there are things that we can talk about and when there are things that we can share, quite frankly, because everybody's not on your team. It might appear that they're supposed to be, but guess what? It just doesn't happen that way. So now the brothers are out at Shechem and they're pastoring the father's sheep. Their father, whose name is Israel, formerly known as Jacob, sends his favorite son, Joseph, out there to check on him. And he wanted Joseph to report back. Now Joseph is the snitch because he's a good kid. So anyway, the father sends him out and the brothers see him coming. As soon as they see him coming, they conspire to kill him. Isn't it funny how people always come together just to gang up on you? Misery loves company. Most of us already know that. But here they are now. They're teaming up against him because they just can't take it anymore. People nowadays may not always want you physically dead, and some do. Don't get me wrong. But they will try to assassinate your character. They'll assassinate your dreams. If you let them, they'll assassinate your joy, your hopes. They'll assassinate your marriage if you let them. They'll assassinate your finances. They'll have you getting loans for them and assassinate your credit. They'll assassinate your business or even your current job because they want to keep you out at night when they know you have to get up in the morning. Somebody who's really your friend, somebody who really cares about you, is always going to tell you to do the things that are in your best interest. They're never going to tell you to do so. Oh, man, you weak. Oh, man, why you can't stay out with us at 3-4 in the morning? I don't care if you do have to be at work at 8. They don't care nothing about you because if they really cared, they want what's best for you. So although in this day and time, they may not try to kill you physically, they'll try to make sure that they hinder you or harm you in other ways. And the truth is, it's because they're jealous. The truth is, they don't have what you have. The truth is, they don't have the call of God on their life that you do. The truth is, they're not going where you're going. God is not taking them where you're going. Everybody can't go. And here it is. They don't like you anyway. So Joseph gets there with his fancy coat on. And what do? They take his coat from him and throw him into a pit. And many of us have found ourselves in a pit, thrown there by people who were supposed to love us, left in a dark place, left in a low place, left in a place where we can't even get out by ourselves. Oh, but keep listening. But God. Now, passing by them at this pit, they've tossed their brother in. He's begging for his life. And here come a group of Ishmaelite businessmen traveling by, and they're going from Gilead to Egypt. Now, the brothers sold Joseph, their own brother, to these guys passing by. Don't know anything about them. Now, they've made some money off of their brother. And now, technically, they're not guilty of murder because they didn't just leave him in the pit to die. They just sold him. All because they were jealous. Here it is. Joseph is a victim just because he has a call on his life. He's a victim because the people who were supposed to love him let him down. He's a victim because now they've sold him into slavery. And why? Because they were jealous and he had a dream. He had a gift and they didn't. So meanwhile, these businessmen who have Joseph sell him to somebody else with rank in Pharaoh's court. But there is something about knowing when you have a divine purpose. Everything the enemy means for bad, just like in Romans 8:28, the song that for my prelude for my show is all things will work together for your good. God works it out for your good, no matter the circumstance. Joseph's story goes on from chapters 37 through chapter 50. During the stage of Joseph's enslavement in Egypt, it didn't change who God called him to be. He was in a bad place, but it didn't change who he was. God hadn't changed his mind about him. And quite frankly, Joseph hadn't changed his mind about God. Some of us get so focused on where we are currently that we can't see through the circumstances that God is preparing us for greater. Even in the midst of your circumstance, he's strengthening you. He's sharpening your gifts. He's getting you ready. You may be in an uncomfortable place right now, But believe me, it is working for your good. So Joseph eventually ends up working on the slave crew of a guy named Potiphar. And they liked him pretty well. In fact, Potiphar liked him and trusted him so much that he would even let him work in the house. And he had a leadership position. But up pops the devil again. Potiphar's wife is looking at Joseph. Now, this is a working man, so y'all know Joseph is fine. Potiphar's wife sees Joseph. She tries to get with him. He turns her down over and over, day after day. The woman gets to the point to where she grabs him one day when he's in the house. And he runs up out of his cloak and just leaves it like, and not going back in the house. She's tripping. Now, remember, saints of God, that even as a person in a bad situation, even as a man, you know, because people always say, ooh, I'm a man. Okay, just because you're a man doesn't mean you don't have to have any integrity. It doesn't mean just do any and everything. So Joseph still has integrity, even in a bad situation. It's no excuse to just do any and everything just because of what happened to you or just because of what somebody did. It doesn't excuse poor behavior. Although this woman had attempted to lay everything out on a silver platter for Joseph, because I know some of us will. Don't think I'm naive and crazy. It's a whole lot of people that have put some things on a silver platter for you, right or wrong. And although she tried day after day, Joseph said no day after day. She wanted to get with him day after day. Joseph still said no. And when it came down to it, if he's got to look weak, then so be it, because he ran out of this situation. But she's mad now because she's been rejected. So she lies on Joseph and ends up getting him put in prison. The Bible says in Genesis 39 and 21, though, that even in prison, Joseph still had favor. That's what I love about the Lord, because we can be in a bad situation and things may not be going well for us at the moment, but we still have the favor of God. It doesn't change. Joseph was placed again in a leadership position in prison, and the Lord caused him to be successful, is what the scripture says in the 22nd verse. He was successful at whatever he did. Isn't that a blessing? He's in an ugly place. He's in a bad situation, but God will still cause you to be successful. So now while he's in prison, he begins interpreting dreams. And eventually he gets to interpret a dream for the Pharaoh. Not only did he interpret his dream, but in the dream that God gave him, God also gave Joseph a plan. Remember, this was a man who was just blessed with wisdom. And he was also blessed with discernment. So he shares the plan with Pharaoh as well. There was a famine on the way. God had given Joseph an outstanding plan for how they were going to be able to survive the famine. Because some ugly things can be going on around you, but God will still take care of you. I don't care what the lack is. I don't care what everybody else is going through. It doesn't matter what level of poverty is all around you. God will still make sure that you have everything that you need. And so God gave that level of provision to Joseph, and he shared it again with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was like, you know what? I'm gonna let you work your plan. Again, favor, even in the midst of a bad circumstance. Because Pharaoh liked the plan, he put Joseph in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Now, you can't tell me that's not favor. You taking a prisoner and putting him in charge of the entire land like a governor? Okay. Now, Joseph's got a new title. They give him a new woman to be his wife. He had a whole lot of things. He got a new ride. The Bible specifically says he got a new chariot. So Joseph got a new ride. Y'all know how we do when we're on the come up. We're going to get a new ride. But he had authority. He went from victim to victor. And it wasn't overnight. I'm not going to kid you and say that this stuff happened immediately. Years went by. But in those years, again, God was strengthening Joseph and God was getting him ready. It may not come when we want it, but again, y'all know the song, God is always on time. When the famine came, those same brothers who conspired against Joseph had to come to him for help. And isn't that always how it is? They didn't even recognize him. And your enemies won't recognize you either. Those people that were against you, those people that could have helped you and didn't, they won't recognize you either. When God brings you out, you may not look the same. You may not walk the same and you may not talk the same. But be careful to remember that even when you go from victim to victor, just like with Joseph, he had the power to curse them, but instead he blessed them. We have to remember, saints of God, that even if you have to cry sometimes, because Joseph did, he saw them and the Bible says he turned his head and wept. You don't have to let them see you cry, but it's all right to cry sometimes. But even through his pain, even in remembering everything they had done to him, he still remembered who he was and who God had called him to be, because he ensured that they had everything that they needed. He ensured to make sure that his father was all right and his youngest brother was all right, because he didn't come with them when they came to ask for help. We have to learn to let the Spirit lead us, no matter what our circumstances are. We have to learn to stop jumping in our flesh and let our emotions take over just because you're having a bad time. Everybody has a bad time. You are not the only person who's going through something. Stop playing the victim. Recognize and realize that you're actually a victor. You don't have to keep waddling in the mess. You don't have to keep waddling in what went wrong in your life. Stop making lifelong decisions because of something that you're going through that's temporary. You're upset today, sisters, so you're going to cut all your hair off. And tomorrow you wake up crying. Tomorrow, what was I thinking? Because you made a decision based on your emotions at the time. Brothers, you mistreat a good woman because of something somebody else did to you, and she didn't have anything to do with it. You're too blind to see the good woman that's right in front of you. Stop playing the victim. Recognize that you really are a victor. Stop taking it out on everybody else. Stop snapping at the kids and kicking the dog. Women, stop blaming all men everywhere because one man abused you, or because one man didn't appreciate you, or because somebody abandoned you. How long will you blame your mother and your father for what you didn't have as a child? Stop playing the victim. So what? One person hurt you. So what? They caused you some financial problems from when the relationship broke up. That was a long time ago. How long will you stay in that same negative place? And now you've made up in your mind, I don't trust a woman at all. And I've heard people say that. It's not everybody else's fault because that one woman got over on you. Stop playing the victim. Stop making excuses. Well, I could have done this, but that. I could have done that, but you know what happened. How long will you dwell on that stuff from 20 years ago with what somebody did to you? Stop playing that violin, the woe is me. Because quite frankly, when you're called of God, when God has given you a vision, when God has given you a dream and he shows you what's going to happen, giving up is not even an option. You can't quit if you want to. Trust me, I tried. You can't quit. Too many people will be affected if you quit. If you've made some mistakes, then ask God to forgive you. Ask those people around you that you may have hurt to forgive you. And then forgive yourself. Once you forgive yourself, move on. Because God has a plan for your life, but you can't get there wallowing in what's wrong and wallowing in the past and wallowing in what happened. You have to move forward. You can't get there talking about, well, you know, my teachers really didn't teach me anything when I was in the sixth grade. There is no excuse. Nowadays, we have internet, books, libraries, Go read, go learn about the things. A lot of libraries have free classes. There is no excuse now for you not being good with a computer. There is no excuse now for you saying, I really don't understand math, and you know that you need math for your job. Stop making excuses. Go get it. Go get what you need. Do what you need to do. Stop playing the victim. Or you get a new job, and then you get there and the devil's sitting up waiting on you in the break room because the people in there looking at you funny. So what? You know you need your job. You better get to work and ignore them people. Stop playing the victim. Jesus died that we might live. You have to recognize that you have a need for God in your life. Make him your savior. Even right where you are, if he isn't already. You can't do this by yourself. How many warnings do you think that you're going to get? How many times does God have to show you and confirm through so many other people that it's time out for playing the victim? How many times does he have to show you that he loves you, but he just wants you to come in? How many invitations do you have to get to church before you make up your mind that enough is enough already? How much will it take for you to recognize enough is enough? You cannot do this by yourself. Jesus took a beating and took on many stripes so that we might be healed. He carried the burden of the cross that we might be free. So if you're in need of some strength, and many of us are, it happens. Know that God is your rock. Know that God is your fortress. Know that God is your strong tower. He's the one to run to. Not the bottle, not the liquor store, not the club, not man after man after man. But know that God is the source for everything that you need and everything your heart desires. He didn't give you that vision for nothing, but you need him in order to carry it out. He didn't show you those things for nothing, but you need God in order for it to be manifested in your life. It's in him we live, move, and we have our being. Everything that we need is in Jesus, but we have to stop playing the victim. Don't you know the sorrows of death, hell, and the grave may be all around you? Oh, but I know a man. The same God who took Joseph from the pit to the palace can do the same thing for you. The same God that was there with Joseph is here with you. If you have a story that you want to share with the listeners on today, if you want to share your testimony, if you want to share your experience, that number again is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If today is your day and you've decided enough is enough, call us. The Bible says all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and he rose again on the third day morning, that you might have life. That's all you need to do to make him your Lord on today, right where you are. And God will give you back your joy. He'll give you back your strength. He will give you back your peace. Sometimes you can't even rest well at night, because you're not where you need to be. You're wallowing in the fact that you're a victim, or you think you are. You're wallowing in what went wrong. Wallowing in what you don't have. Wallowing in what they did to you. I understand that it hurt. I understand that it still hurts. But there comes a time that you still have to move forward. I understand that it can be a distraction and it may come up in your mind, but you don't have to let it come out of your mouth. It's time out for the pity parties. It's time out for feeling sorry for yourself. Okay, you don't have any money right now. Live on that budget. Do what God has called you to do, and He'll make sure that your cup is running over. It's okay if you can't go out and do the things that you used to do or shop like you used to. Now it's time to use that wisdom and that discernment that God gave you. You better learn how to mix and match. You don't have to wallow in the fact that other folks are out shopping. They might live in a shack. And you're trying to have a nice home. You tried to move your kids to an area where there was a good school district, so you may pay a little bit more. So just because that sister next to you at work has a $400 weave and keeps her nails done, she may be living in a shack. Or better yet, she may be living with some man that she's not married to that may be abusing her. You don't know that person's circumstance. But you're sitting there wallowing in the fact that somebody else has something that you don't. It's time out for being the victim. It's time to just let it go. It's time for us, people of God, to just give God our all. It's time for us to stop focusing on the negative things. It's time for us to focus on being about the business of God. Because think about it, Joseph is in prison interpreting dreams. Are you kidding me? He could have easily been in prison to my man. This woman lied on me. She tried to get with me. I should have just went on and did it. You know how we think sometimes. I wouldn't be in prison if I had just went on and did the wrong thing. Y'all know how we think sometimes. Sometimes the enemy will make that temptation seem so wonderful and so beautiful and so great and so easy. It's still wrong. And here he is in a bad place, interpreting dreams, still using his gifts, still doing what God called him to do, still obviously focusing on God, because I'm here to tell you, you can't interpret a dream if you're not hearing from God. Now, you can prophesy, but you won't be prophesying. Here he is in prison, wrongly imprisoned at that, because of a lie that was told on him, because he was trying to do the right thing. And I know that many of us have been there, and it hurts. I've been lied on. I've been talked about. We all have. And so was Jesus. Here in Joseph's situation, he was just trying to do the right thing. He's already a slave, but he's just being a leader, because leadership was already innate in him. It was already in him. It's already who he was. So he's just doing what it is that he's called to do, even in the midst of an ugly situation. He's in there with a cupbearer who ends up in jail because the Pharaoh had gotten upset with him about something. He's interpreting his dreams. When the cupbearer gets out of jail, he goes back to being with the Pharaoh and has an opportunity to tell the Pharaoh about Joseph. Hey, man, you know, it's this guy down there in the prison that interprets dreams. Do you know he didn't even remember Joseph for 2 years? And then he had to right his wrong by telling the Pharaoh about this guy named Joseph who interpreted his dream, because the Pharaoh had a dream. The cupbearer couldn't interpret it. So then he remembers Joseph. 2 years later, the Bible says. Have we ever been in a place where we expected somebody to help us and they didn't even do what they said they were going to do? I know. Been there, done that. We all have. But did Joseph stop being who he was called to be? No, he did not. You hope and you think sometimes when people are going to, you know, or say they're going to help you or do something for you. Sometimes they can't, and sometimes they won't. In this case, the cupbearer was worried about himself. He got out of prison. He's good to go. So Joseph is in there 2 more years. when the cupbearer could have easily come out. But don't you know there's a time and a purpose? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time and a season for everything. It obviously wasn't time. Now, I know we look at that story and think like, man, Joseph got played. He got played by his brothers. He gets played in the prison by the cupbearer. He got played by the woman in the first place, and he wouldn't even been in prison because he was just there doing his job. And I know all the men who are listening that ever got played by a woman right now saying, yep, mm-hmm. That's all right. Women get played too. We all do. Because we all want to be able to trust people. But sometimes, quite frankly, we trust the wrong people. And in this case, it wasn't even because Joseph was trusting her. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. And the woman lied because she wanted him. How many people have ever lied on you because they wanted you? How many people have ever lied on you because you rejected them and you didn't do something that they wanted you to do? If you have a testimony, call me, 888-627-6008. We want to hear about it. But know that when you make the change in your life and you give God your heart and you are truly honoring God in everything that you do, even in the midst of terrible circumstances, he'll give you back your hope. You can hold your head up. But now you need to make sure that you're in pursuit of Jesus. Don't go out there and try to pursue the dream. That's the mistake we often make. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then everything will be added unto you. Don't go seek the dream. You seek God. And he'll take care of the dream. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the discernment. He'll give you the right connections and the right people to network with. You never know why you meet people. You never know why people come into your life. Know that they are strategically placed there, either for a blessing and some for a lesson. But know that they're strategically placed there in your life, in that season. Pursue God. He will ensure that that vision that he gave you, that those ideas, all those business plans that he gave you, when it's from God, he'll make sure that you have everything that you need. When it's God's plan, he'll also give you the finance. If it's God's plan for you, he'll give you the connections. When it's God's plan for you, even if it's something you don't even know how to do by yourself, he'll show you how to do it. All because you're in pursuit of him. That same dream that he gave you a long time ago, don't give up on it. That same vision that he showed you, don't give up on it. Go back and look for those business plans. Go back and look at your notes where you wrote down those ideas for that ministry or that business concept. Don't just lay there and be a victim. Don't stay down in the pit. I realize they put you in the pit, but you don't have to stay in the pit. And you don't have to stay in the prison. Because many of us get imprisoned in our minds with what we can't do and what we don't have. Don't stay in the pit and don't stay in the prison. God has a palace waiting for you. And no, you ain't got to wait till you get to heaven to have a mansion. Oftentimes, we as saints of God talk about heaven and what God is going to do for us in heaven and streets paved of gold. And I have a mansion over there. I want a mansion down here. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have joy, to have a mansion, to have some things. But we do have to make sure that we're seeking God. As with Joseph, because throughout life, many things will be tossed at us. But think about from the time that Joseph was 17 to the time that he was 30, he was going through. Now, y'all know, let's be real. Some of us would have gave up by then. You talking about 23 years of turmoil and stuff going wrong, and all the whole time you're still trying to do what you're supposed to do? You're talking about a 17-year-old boy. I'm sorry, 13 years. A 17-year-old boy who was going through with his brothers, who's going through in prison, who's going through even while he's a slave, folks are mad at him. Think about it. Think about it. You got to be watching your back even as a slave. And some of you are on jobs right now that you don't even think are important. But trust me, somebody's jealous. Somebody's watching you. You have to know and you have to recognize that your future is still greater than your flaws. Yeah, we all have some issues. We all have some things going on. But what God has for your future, what God has planned for you, Jeremiah 29:11, the plans that he have for you are to prosper you, not to harm you. A whole lot of us would have given up if we were in Joseph's situation, but we can't give up. It's not an option. You may have to sit back and lay low for a little while because you can't spend any money right now because you're on a strict budget. You can't do anything but go to work, church, and home because you can't even afford to go out to dinner. Let everybody else go out to dinner. That's fine. Everybody else is going to lunch. That's fine. Let them do that. You won't be in that situation always. The Bible says that you can go on and just glory in your tribulations because that tribulation is working patience in you. And that patience is working experience. And that experience brings about hope. Know that with your tribulation, you can still be happy because after tribulation comes elevation. Joseph was in a really bad situation. But God elevated him. While he was enslaved, he was a leader. And he was in charge of things at Potiphar's house. When he went to prison, he was still utilizing his gifts and interpreting dreams. Don't worry about what the obstacles may be. Because after all of that tribulation became an opportunity for elevation. Everybody has obstacles. Everybody has situations. Everybody goes through things. But you have to make up in your mind to go from being a victim to being a victor. Your conversations, the things you do and you say, it shows up in everything that you do and say. When you have victim mentality, people can't even talk to you because whatever comes out of your mouth is always going to be negative. Hey, how you doing? I mean, you know, I'm all right. Come on, y'all. Even if you don't feel like it, say what the word says about you. I am blessed of the Lord and highly favored. I'm the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. People are not asking you how you're doing because they really want to hear that your whole garden died, your dog is sick, your truck broke down. I made up in my mind that how you're doing does not have to be about my physical state when I respond. When somebody asks how you're doing, you can tell them you're doing well because even if it hasn't manifested in the natural, it's already so in the spirit. It may not be my reality right now, but it is the truth according to the word of God because his word is truth. So if I'm quoting what the word says, it's the truth. So how you doing? I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored. I'm great. I'm wonderful. I am bountifully blessed. I'm debt free. All my bills are paid. All of my children are doing well. Praise God. Is that always the reality? No. Is it always a fact? No. I may be hurting in my body. I may have financial issues. All four of my children may have something going on. But my answer is yet the same. I am blessed of the Lord and highly favored because I am. I know that God favors me. Joseph was favored, although he was sitting in prison. He was still favored. But don't you know that many of the people that God used mightily in the Bible are people who had obstacles? All of them could have been dwelling on their issues. Think about it. Abraham was old. Sarah was doubting God and what he could do, so she laughed. Moses was confronted with a Red Sea. Daniel ended up in the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys got thrown in the furnace because of their beliefs. David wasn't the son that was originally selected, but he was the one who was anointed by God. Hannah couldn't have kids, so she goes into church to pray, and folks think she's drunk. Hosea married a prostitute. Now, I know some brothers listening might be able to relate, but it's some women listening, too. Because you've married somebody that's not even who you thought they were. My God. Jonah had to deal with a large fish. Many of us call it a whale. But he was so busy trying to run from what it is that God called him to do, he ends up being tossed overboard and then swallowed up in the belly of a fish. Y'all know that wasn't a pretty place. Jacob ended up with a limp because he decided, Lord, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I've been through too much. But he walked away with a limp. Nehemiah had to deal with a wall and a whole bunch of folks trying to tell him to come down off of it. Peter got scared. Paul and Silas went to jail. All for the gospel. You have to come to a point in your life where you're ready to turn your mess into a message, where you're ready to turn your test into a testimony. But that's for you to decide. That's for you to make up in your mind. And when you decide to get your mind right and do as the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let is a key word because you have to allow the word of God to completely lead and guide your life. You have to submerge yourself completely into the word of God and the things of God in order for that word to come up when you need it. You can't just stop off at church every now and then, Sunday once a month. But you're going to need some Bible studies. You're going to need to read on your own. You're going to need to listen to word. You're going to need to listen to gospel music. Because there are so many other things around you that can distract you and taint your thinking. When you make up in your mind to change your mind and to stop being a victim, there has to be a supernatural exchange. But when you put on the mind of Christ, that supernatural change will take place. And then there are going to be four things to happen. Four things that need to happen. And if you're taking notes, this is where you want to write. Those things will happen for you. Because I know somebody's wondering, how's that going to happen? Those things will happen for you when you decide to just endure and be strengthened mentally emotionally, and above all, spiritually. Those four things are as follows. The first one is a dependence for strength. Your strength comes in when you acknowledge your weakness. Your strength comes in when you decide to rely constantly and consistently on God's strength. The Bible says His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And if you're jotting down scriptures, write down Ephesians 6 and 10, Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My strength has to come from God. I can't do it by myself. And you'll quickly find out you can't do it dependent on other people. Your dependence has to be solely on God. The second thing is this. You have to have a diet for strength. What does that mean? You need to nourish yourself in the Word of God. You can't be feeding yourself junk and feeding yourself on the club and feeding yourself on quotes from somebody else's Facebook. That's not where it's at. It all sounds good, but you better get it for yourself. Nourish yourself in the Word of God. If you're writing, jot down 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 17. And 1 Peter 2 and 2. As well as Matthew 4 and 4. Make sure that your diet is going to be some things that give you nourishment. Just like we do with nourishing our physical bodies. If you're not eating the right thing, your body doesn't do very well. If you're eating junk, candy, sugar, ice cream cones, milkshakes, oh, that sounds real good, huh? Well, guess what? If you don't balance that stuff out with some vegetables, some protein, some fruit, you're going to be a mess. And you're also going to be sick. And your body won't have any strength. So make sure that your diet spiritually is good food. Feed yourself on the Word of God. You can't feed yourself on Confucius. You can't feed yourself going to Chinese restaurants and reading what the fortune cookie said. Now you done stuck it up on the refrigerator for hope. It ain't gonna last. You can't feed yourself even on the song that the choir sang only. Because some people just go to church just to hear the music. That's not enough. You need the Word of God to nourish you, to nourish your spirit. The third thing is you have to have the discipline for strength. What am I talking about? Well, just like you exercise your physical body, you have to make up in your mind to get up and do it every day, whether you feel like it or not. You have to be disciplined about the things of God as well. You must practice godliness. We must practice praying every day. We can't just pop in on God when something is wrong and pop out when everything is going well. We got to be consistent, whether you feel like it or not. And on Sunday morning, it seemed like that's just the best sleep. I know I got it. But you have to discipline yourself to do a lot of things sometimes that you don't want to do. And guess what else? Like Joseph, it's some other stuff that your body might want to do. But you have to be disciplined enough to say, okay, I can't. That's not what God wants for me. It's not what He wants for my life. It's not godliness. It's not holiness. Those scriptures are 1 Timothy 4th chapter, verses 8 through 16. 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, verses 16 through 23. And 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 5 through 8. But you have to pray and discipline your mind, discipline your body, build up your spirit. The fourth thing and the final thing is you're going to have to deal with some difficulties for strength. Just like with Joseph, God was making him and preparing him, even in the midst of the pit and the prison, even in the midst of being enslaved. You're going to have to face some difficulties because just like you build spiritual muscle, just like you build natural muscle, rather, your spiritual muscles are built from resistance. Resistance is what gives you strength. And your spiritual muscles are built the same way. Those scriptures are 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, verses 9 through 10, and Romans the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 4. Make sure you jot those down. Again, the 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, verses 9 and 10, Romans 5th chapter, verses 3 through 4. It's time out for playing the victim, saints of God. Get your mind right. Change your thinking. You no longer have to be a victim because God has already made you a victor. Now, if you want to go back and hear some archived messages, you can go to my website, www.campbellministries.com. If you'd like to donate, on that same website, you can click on the donate button, or you can mail that to me at P.O. Box 16214. You can make that out to Campbell Ministries. Again, P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. The zip is 39236. I'd also like to invite you out to church if you don't have a good church home and you're in the Jackson, Mississippi area. You can stop by the Word Full Gospel Baptist Church located at 3023 Percy V. Simpson. We just want to love on you. We're near Dawson Elementary School, for those who may not be familiar with the area. 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive. And also, coming up, we'll have the Desires of Your Heart Singles Conference, February 10 through 11. The kickoff is on the 10th. We'll have Pastor Belinda Williams on the 11th. That morning, we'll have a prayer breakfast. Our guest speaker will be Minister Tiffany Cooper. And then that night, we're going to have a formal banquet. The fee for the banquet is $25. Everything else is free. But for that banquet, we're going to have our guest speaker as Pastor Anthony Sweezer. Thank you all so much for joining. I appreciate you. God bless you. And God keep you is my prayer.